What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in. This is the Matt Ramage Show. I am joined today by a beautiful guest. You know what I mean? We usually have we have some good looking people on here, but I feel like Monty Moore is one of the better looking guests that I've had.
I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable.
But but we have a great show tonight. I actually just got done watching that the Packers Bear game, because I was at that Bears game, and so I had to rewatch it, you know what I mean? But I had a couple of tree beers tonight. But I want to give a big shout out to Quick Trip, you know what I mean? Quick Trip sponsoring the show. They sponsor every show that we got going on here. So big shout out to Quick Trip, and be sure to check out the Quick Trip. You know, they got the hot meals. You know, you go into walking to Quick Trip, they got the hot food just chilling out there waiting for you, like, eat me. But they also got the food that you can microwave. You know, they got the macaroni and cheese, they got the spaghetti and meatballs, they got all types of good stuff over there. I usually just focus on the macaroni and cheese, but be sure to check out the take home meals that they got going on over there. And they're scrumptious, you know what I mean? But I will say this to everyone who gets the take home meals: don't ignore the breadsticks. I feel like the breadsticks are underrated. They're like the most underrated Quick Trip take home meal that there is. It, like, when I go there and they're not there, I'm sincerely disappointed, because everyone wants them. You know what I mean? And you can ask, like, if you're ever at Quick Trip and you got the hot meals and all that stuff, it's not there, you can ask them and they'll make that thing for you. But I don't like to be a pain, you know, that Midwest nice. You don't want to make. I don't like making people at work do more work. You know what I mean? But shout out to Quick Trip sponsoring this thing. And they got the best food in the land. You know what I mean? You have never been to a gas station and got better food than you will get at Quick Trip.
100% true.
But what is up, Monty? How you doing over there? You can find Monty Moore on Last Call Lambo over there on Game On Wisconsin. He's also a contributor on Packaday Podcast. He's over there killing the game. That's why I wanted to have you on, because I'm trying to have smart people on. I got Ryan Schlipp, you know. Ryan Schlipp from the Packernet podcast. I got him on, and I'm trying to get more smart people on. And I feel like if I have smart people on, their smartness will rub off on me just a little bit. You know what I mean? But how are you doing? How was your Christmas? I know Christmas is kind of far away. We're past New Year's now. We got a snowstorm coming in. But how have you been? And how has everything been going for you?
I've been great. This is it's kind of crazy that we're going to be sitting here talking about the Packers playing a game this week. Like, we had no business being here pretty much. And New Year's Eve, was obviously awesome. Beat the Vikings, turn right around, beat the Bears. So I am pretty much sitting on top of the world right now, because everything from here on out is all just like gravy on top. Like, the season's been great. And now we actually get to watch another playoff game.
Yeah. Dude, absolutely, because like, everyone didn't expect the Packers to be like where they are. I did, no. But not really. But I talked that trash. But then, not that I didn't expect it, but like, I wouldn't have put money on it, because like, Jordan Love's right. First season as a starter, I wasn't like all like just like all in. Like, we're all, I mean, I was all in, but like, not like, you know,
you were optimistic. You wouldn't have put money on it.
Yeah, but Jordan Love has been lighting up. We're gonna talk about that. But what are you drinking tonight, Monty? What are you drinking? Because I'm having a couple of tree beers. You know what I mean? As we see over here in Wisconsin.
I went with something pretty simple. I just made an old fashioned, which is what I normally make and drink when I do any of my shows or I join anybody else. It's my favorite cocktail. So it's what I've always got bourbon at home. So I'm always able to make one pretty much at the drop of the hat.
Yeah, and you're jacked up, you know. We got Ben over here talking about your jacked upness. how do you stay jacked up? Because I want to know, because as a fellow jacked up individual, you know what I mean? Everyone who follows me know that Matt Ramage stays jacked up.
I can summarize it by saying, drink whiskey, go to the gym 4 times a week, and eat what you want most of the time and be smart the rest of the time. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mix those things up, you know.
They don't have to be done in order. So you just got to figure out, you know, you got to figure out what works.
Yeah. I stay buzzed up about 4 times a week. And then I think I got them out of order, but I'm going to figure that thing out this year, 2024. But we're going to talk about some football today. You know what I mean? But before we get into that, I want to give a big shout out to the sponsor, one of the sponsors over here, NicolayLaw.com. You know, winter's coming. You might get rear-ended. You know, some idiot. Maybe he's got eyes like me, all jacked up, driving silly, hits you. And the insurance companies want to do you silly. All right, so Nicolay Law, they're going to make sure that the insurance companies do you right. So be sure to check out NicolayLaw.com. And you see the banners. You see the commercials. I was actually watching a Packer game earlier, and, like, one of his commercials came on. And he has funny commercials. I feel like he has better commercials than a lot of content creators make videos. Me, for sure. Big shout out to Nicolay Law. They're killing the game. You can't watch TV in Wisconsin without seeing the commercials. You can't drive down a highway without seeing their banners. Nicolay Law, they're killing the game over here. And they're good lawyers, and they care about you. That's what you want in a lawyer. You know what I mean? Funny, but care about you. Epic beard. I can't grow one, but if I could.
I can't grow one either. Yeah, we can bond on that. I can't grow one either.
People tell me, like, oh, now that you got Nicolay Law, because all the Nicolay Law thing is, like, fear the beard. They're like, you got to grow a beard. I'm like, I can't. My face don't work that way. I could be on a deserted island 4 years and come find me. Like, oh, we saved your life. Like, why do you look so clean shaved?
Did you find you have razors on the island?
Like, no, my face don't work that way. You know what I mean? But all right, we're going to keep it moving. We got some good stuff over here. All right, so we're going to talk about some Jordan Love, because the Jordan Love haters can shut it. Mr. Monty,
if there are any left, even they don't believe what they're saying at this point. So that's one thing. So, like, whenever you come across someone still trying to pretend like they don't think he's good or that he's not, you know, they don't believe what they're actually saying. So that makes it even better every time.
Dude, I want to give a shout out to one of the biggest Jordan Love haters on Facebook, Matt Guyette. All right. Cause he was always, all his comments were just, Jordan overhyped Love, and he was aiming at me because I've been hyping Jordan Love up all since the offseason. I never stopped, not even a game. You know, Jordan Love struggled. He had a few games because we always said it's me up and downs, and he had those downs, but he's up now, baby. But
I'm thankful to not have Facebook. I'm sure it gets absolutely ridiculous on Facebook.
It is a wild situation. It's like those alleys mom told you not to walk down at night.
Yes.
That's what's Facebook. You never know what's going to jump out behind a dumpster. But now he's saying Jordan Love, he's the greatest quarterback of all time, because now he's going, like, sarcastic.
Oh, of course.
With it. Yeah. He switched up. But, like, so now he's going the other way, and he's being sarcastic with it. But the Jordan Love haters are interesting to me, because I have another thing I want to talk about. Is this the next one over here? I have to find this banner, because the people who were talking trash about Jordan Love are the people who call themselves, I'm realistic. And I want to go off on it. I want to go off. I actually have a banner for this, and it's irritating me that I can't find it.
The same people that like to, like, champion and always talk about how much of a realist they are. You ever notice how they also always say, well, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an easy cop out to say, like, I'm going to act negative, and then if I'm wrong, I get to be happy, because that means I was wrong about something good. So yeah, realist, it is a thing. Like, you can say you're a realist, but when you have to constantly tell people that you are, when it's always surrounded by you being negative. Yeah. That's a pretty clear sign.
Yeah, because, like, I have nothing wrong with people who are actual realists. I'm like, hey, I'm just like, I just say it how it is. A lot of podcasts are like that. A lot of people are like that. But when you say I'm a realist and just negative, like, negativity does not make you right. Because all the people in the earlier of the season, coming in through the off season, coming to the regular season, they said, you're just I get called a cheerleader. You're just a biased Packer fan. I'm a realist. Even, like, Packer fans, like, I'm a realist. Well, like, no, but you were wrong. So, right. Like, being a realist doesn't make you right. Like, they have it.
You were really wrong.
Yeah, they have it in their head that I'm a realist, I'm negative, I must be right. But all those people were trashing Jordan Love, saying Jordan Love isn't that dude. Jordan Love, the Packers are going to go in 2 or 3 games. We've all seen this through the beginning of the season, throughout the offseason, and obviously during the middle of the season, like when things weren't going all right, they were partying, bro. They were popping champagne. They were up in there. You know what I mean?
That locker room video from Sunday that's like the craziest I've ever seen the Packers locker room from what they share on social media. Like, they were like, I don't think I've ever seen them smoke cigars in the locker room ever.
Yeah. And I think that they were saying that those were like a brand with, it might've been like a brand of beer type of thing, or maybe
that was like, that's even better. I love it.
I don't know, because they were saying like bear something, cigar. I don't know. Maybe it's just slang and I'm not in the cigar world, but yeah, like all these realists, like they just like to trash Jordan Love. And like, that's my thing. It's like, you were wrong. So like, don't call yourself a realist. If you're a realist, you better be real. You better be right. Cause if you're not right, then you're not real. You know what I mean? So like, I'm a realist too. Like, I can be realist. Just being positive doesn't mean that you're not a realist. Like, obviously I'm not, I'm very biased. I love the Packers and I'm going to vulture the Packers. I'm the most biased Packer fan there is. I know Tyler Herrick tried to steal that title from me, but
you guys are close. Tyler,
Tyler needs to step off a little bit.
Tyler's one of my best friends. You guys are really close. He's like, he is impossibly optimistic. And it's pretty funny though, because I figured Jordan Love was going to be good. And so that makes me optimistic, but I never in a million years would have thought he was this good. Like, if you look at what his stat line was this year, if that is the baseline, so 4,100 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 picks, and a 96 rating. If that's his floor, I mean that is, you can win a Super Bowl with that quarterback. Like, if he never improves on those numbers, and the Packers actually get a defense someday, you can win a Super Bowl with that quarterback. And this was the first year he's ever played. This was the first year with any of his wide receivers. So they don't, I mean, they've got chemistry, but it's only going to get better. So yeah, I mean, there's no reason anyone that even says that they're a realist still should not be optimistic at this point.
Yeah, he's passed every test. If you are a true realist, if you're a true realist, not a troll, not a hater, not an undercover, you know, whatever fan, if you're a true realist, you're looking at Jordan Love, 4,159 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, quarterback rating 96.1, you know, and that game.
Four rushing touchdowns, too. So you're looking at, you're looking at 36 touchdowns.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Math. This guy right here. You know what I mean?
I had the calculator pulled up, so I made sure I had the numbers right.
I didn't know if you were going to get it, because I couldn't get it. But just the fact, I just watched that Packers-Bears game. I rewatched it because I was at the game. There was like a whole quarter when the score was 17-9. And it basically the whole fourth quarter. I forget exactly what it was, give or take a little bit. But that defense had to hold on, but also that offense had to hold on. That offense had to hold it down and keep that, you know, not give the ball back. Jordan Love is that dude. Like, and not even just Jordan Love, like this whole offense. Dude, I could have tweeted, because I wasn't really live tweeting, but I was talking about Jaden Reed. He's ridiculous. Wicks, he's ridiculous. Aaron Jones was ridiculous in that game. And Aaron Jones is going to be huge for this next game. We'll talk about the Cowboys here in a second. But like, this offense is doing a thing, and the defense has been doing a game. And obviously, like, the Vikings, the Bears, they're not the biggest test.
Right. Put an asterisk on it, obviously. But I mean, worse offenses have played better against our defense at other points this year. So I'm not gonna dismiss it. Like, I'm glad they're playing better. It's just like, when you talk about, you know, Jordan Love being the guy and like proving that he's the guy, I mean, going into next year, how many quarterbacks in the NFC would you say are going to be better than, like, that are going to be listed as being better than Love going into this season? Right. 3, maybe.
Yeah. And like, just like the Bears and a lot of these trash teams, right? There's a lot of trash teams, but maybe none as trash as the Bears. You know what I mean? The Packers beat Chicago 10th time in a row. All right. Bears fans crying. The Bears players, crying, bro.
Yeah. Mr. Calling Brisket. Into the radio, calling into radio stations crying over the game.
Dude, I've been watching TikToks and Instagram reels. People post them on Twitter or X, whatever they call it now. Bears fans just crying. It's a beautiful thing. And I know a lot of it's for content engagement. A lot of my content creators, but still just like watching the games and that's 10 times in a row.
Cause like, I mean, think about how dominant the Packers have been over the Bears. Yeah. And how many coaches that, I mean, we haven't had a ton of coaches, but even with as dominant as they've been, Matt LaFleur has started the best out of any of them. He's never lost to the Bears.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Well, you think about most of the players on a team. Like, I don't know. I think most of the players on the Packers have never lost to the Bears. I know Preston Smith
has not.
12-0. I think he's 12-0. Going back to Washington.
The only ones I know of off the top of my head are Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark, and Aaron Jones. Those guys, because those might be the only players on the team that were still there in 2018, which is the last time they lost. Other than that, I don't think anybody's lost to the Bears.
Yeah, so like if you're a Bear fan, I get it. You're crying, but like let's talk about Mr. Brisket. I have a video, but I played it last night. I don't want to play it again. But Brisket talked all that trash, and I know he got that fumble recovery. He was all excited about that. Probably went home and hugged his mom and told him about her. But like that man talked all that trash, and then after the game, after they lost, said they ain't got no stars over there. Well, they ain't got no stars over there either. Like, take away Justin Fields, DJ Moore, maybe? Who do they got that you're, like, you're seeing on ESPN highlights all the time? Like, is like a national name. The Bears ain't got no stars either.
Justin Fields. You had Bears fans telling him to just stop talking because he talks trash after the first game in week one. He only talks it after they lose and then says that the Packers aren't that good. But he's just saying this team that's not good just totally whooped us. So,
dude,
I don't know.
I'm actually gonna show this video because I want to show this video because he was like in position to do something. I think it was that Jayden Reed touchdown.
He got punked all day.
I'm gonna show this video right here.
All right, we're going to keep an eye over here at Mr. Brisker. You know, he had so much to say. Ain't got no stars on this side of the field. We got Jayden Reed over here in motion, running out, gets a little contact, is open. But look, my man should have perfect angle. Doesn't do it. He's in the front row. See, I felt like he was watching the game. Didn't know he was actually had to play that thing. But here we go. Let's take another look at this. Look at this, Jayden Reed, buddy. Look at this angle right here. Mr. Brisker just whiffed. Didn't even give it all too much effort. I don't even know what's going on, but you got to love it, Mr. Brisker. See you next season.
I want to say
like, he was frozen
for the people listening on the audio. I was showing that video like he was just like he was right there. All right, Jayden Reed had a little bit of
he should have had the angle,
a little bit of contact, but he's right there in front of the play and he just watched it. So like how can you talk trash like they ain't got no stars? Well, like Aaron Jones talked about, like, well, if they ain't got no stars, like, then why didn't you do nothing? Like, why didn't you stop it? How did these no stars having bums stomp you out? Like,
team full of bad players dominated us again. So I guess if that makes you look better, sure, keep saying it.
It's ridiculous. The Bears are trash. They're sad because I know that they wanted to win. Like this is our time. Like just like the Detroit Lions.
Like the Lions, yeah.
Sucked forever, and now they won the division. So now they get to talk a little bit. So the Bears wanted a little bit of taste to that. Maybe they saw it. They got the bags off their heads over there in Detroit. Maybe we can get our bags off our head. I'm not sure Chicago actually wears bags. No, I'm expecting that. But like they saw like a little glimpse of light. Like maybe we can get it on that level. But it wasn't meant to be 10 in a row. It doesn't matter who Chicago hires. It doesn't matter who Chicago signs. Like I think Justin Fields is a good quarterback. I got no hate for Justin Fields. I've never hated on Justin Fields. I hope he goes to an AFC team. They trade him, let him have a good life. And I might even root for him because I feel like Justin Fields is a good dude. I think he's a good quarterback. He's mobile. You put him in the right offense, he's going to do it.
I said earlier this week, like, he deserves a better organization because I hope he goes somewhere and plays really well. Like, I have nothing against him as a person. He's, like, an incredibly good dude. Like, he says all the right things. Like, obviously the locker room likes him, but I just don't think the Bears know what they're doing when it comes to developing that position. And I do think he's going to go somewhere else and be really good if they don't bring him back. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of just like same as it ever was, right? Like we swept the Bears last year, even though they didn't, like, the Packers didn't make the playoffs. But again, like, swept the Bears this year. And I mean, did you feel at any point during that game that the Bears were going to win? I mean, I really never felt that they were going to.
The only point that I was actually a little bit concerned is like first drive when like things weren't like going real great. I'm like, you know, because sometimes when the games don't start, we've had some like, you know, four game stretch.
Yeah, we started a little slow.
Great. Yeah. But then as soon as they picked up, I'm like, all right, we got this thing. Plus, I was buzzed up. I was having a good time. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I mean, when you look at it, like, okay, yeah, they scored 17 points, but we talked about this before we started going live. Like, Jordan Love had 5 incompletions and 2 of them should have been touchdowns. So he should have only had 3 incompletions in the whole game, which is insane. Like, I mean, that might have been arguably his best game he's ever played in. I mean, that's a de facto playoff game for the Packers, right? If they don't win, they're not in. So like he has experienced basically a playoff game these last 2 weeks. So.
Oh yeah. And that's what I kind of said about the Packers getting the playoffs when a lot of Packer fans are talking about, well, like the drafts and like we should do lose and whatever. I don't get into the whole want to lose type of situation.
No, I hate like that.
I think going to the playoffs is key because the experience, and I think the last 2 weeks were experience. And like with the Vikings, people are like, oh, it was the Vikings, but Vikings fans were telling me how great their defense was, and the Bears were telling me how great their
defense was. And it is good. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Vikings defense had been really good all season.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, it's harder on the defense when your offense is terrible. So they're
all they had backups and they were doing their thing. But like the Bears, like I saw Bears fans chirping about, you know, top five defense in the last however many weeks. And
they had the best rushing defense in the league, and then Aaron Jones went off for 100 yards again.
Dude, Aaron Jones balled up. All right, so we're gonna talk about these next couple weeks, but I want to ask you this first. What is second half of the regular? All right, let me start that over. Because I thought that was a different question. What has the second half of the regular season taught us about the Packers? Because you know, first half, you know, they had a 4-game skid right there.
Yeah,
but in this second half of that regular season, what has it taught us about us? And like, what do you think that? Because people talk about the record all the time. Whenever you talk about Jordan Love is great, Jordan Love is this, and not even just Jordan Love, but like Aaron Jones is doing his thing, Reed and all these other receivers, even the defense, if you want to talk about the last couple of weeks. But like they talk about the first half, but what does the second half of this season say about the Packers going forward into these playoffs?
I mean, for me, it's just the second half of the season showed you what the whole season was about, which was A, is Jordan Love going to be the dude? And then B, if he is, who do you want to build around with him? And like, we clearly got that the last half of the season. Like, again, over the last 8 games, like 18 touchdowns, 1 interception, 112 passer rating, 2 rushing touchdowns, and the Packers went 6-2. Like, that is not a sample size where you're like, yeah, but you know, it was a few games. Like, that is a consistent high level of play. Like, no matter how high you were on Jordan Love, how good you thought he would be, I don't think there's anybody on planet Earth that would have thought he would go 18 touchdowns, 1 interception over any stretch. Like,
that's crazy. That's
ridiculous. Like, that's
actually, and it's like record. Like, for the Packers,
that's insane. I mean, that's like, that is Aaron Rodgers esque, where like almost 20 TDs and one interception. Like, that is insane. So you've got that. Like, so he's the guy. And now you've got, okay, who do you build around, right? So you know all these young receivers, especially Reed and Wicks and Bo Melton, who's not a rookie, but he might as well be, right? Malik Heath, like, they've all contributed. Like, the two tight ends have contributed. So, like, on offense, you know, like, who your core is going to be. I think Aaron Jones is going to come back. So I think he proved that he needs to come back also. And then on defense, I mean, everyone knows like defense is the controversial point on this team. Like, everyone wants the coordinator fired. I think it taught us that that still needs to happen, right? I mean, Bryce Young put up 30 points against our defense and then didn't score for 2 weeks. So like, it's like, it's very clear what's working and what's not. And that's awesome considering you get to play a playoff game this weekend. Like,
yeah, no, go ahead.
My thing for a team this young is I wanted to make the playoffs because you don't want the first playoff experience to be in a year where you're expected to win something. Like, yeah, they get to play a playoff game and see what it's about and feel like all the emotions and the atmosphere when they're not supposed to win anything. So next time they make it, which is probably going to be next year, I'll pick them to make the playoffs next year. They have experience of what the playoffs are like. So that's invaluable.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's what I've been saying with a lot of people saying, like, it doesn't matter to make the playoffs because this and that's going to happen. I think it's huge for this young offense, for not just Jordan Love, not even just for the players, but Matt LaFleur to call plays in high-pressure situation for this quarterback. He doesn't have Aaron Rodgers who's going to change stuff, and he's just been through it so many times. But a quarterback who's going to be, you know, a little bit – my first rodeo to get it done. But, all right, I want to move on to the second question, which I thought was the first question. But they're very similar. What do the Packers do different in the second half? Because the Packers seem to be like a second half type of team. And we'll get onto this Cowboys one. I see a lot of people commenting about the Cowboys game. We're definitely going to get onto that. But what do the Packers do different in the second half? Like, what they're making adjustments, obviously. Like, they're seeing stuff. But the second half seems to be their time to shine. And I remember back in as a kid, people would always say the Packers, it didn't matter what was happening. They're a second half team. I think a lot of back in the day, I think that was just them trying to cope. But like,
this year is like, if they've been the definition of a second half team, right? Because it was hard for them to get a first down in first halves of games. And then they would come out in the second half and look way better. So it's very fitting that they've looked better in the second half of the season. And I think it's been the same kind of thing that made it work in the second half of games, where they kind of just get a little bit looser and just kind of like let it rip. And when they do that, it just works. Like, I think one of the benefits of having such a young team is like, these guys don't really know what pressure is. Like, they don't really feel it. Yeah. They're kind of just out there. Like, let's just play our game. Let's do what we do. Like, and they come, like you said, they come out of halftime and they look way better. So like the second half of the season, they've looked better. And I think now they've embraced that type of feeling. And now you can tell when there's been a change, because now they'll start games and take the ball on offense and they want to come out first and try to score points first. So like, that's a huge change from what they were doing earlier this year.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, it feels like, in this Bears game, they had a big screw up at the end of the second or end of the first half.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was brutal. Like that. You know, they could have got some points. They didn't get it because he went out of bounds, but it didn't have progression, so the clock kept running. And then the second half, they came out and they scored a touchdown right away.
Yeah.
Is like not always typical when you have a big mistake in the end of the first half, or like even if the other team scores, like whatever it is. And then to come out in the second half, though, after a big mistake, they didn't get rattled. LaFleur didn't go in the locker room and scream at him like, you idiots, why was that happening? You know, I assume they were like, just let that go, whatever, that was a mistake, let's keep her moving to the second half. They come out there, they get the ball, go down there and score a touchdown. It was a beautiful thing. And I think that was a big part of winning that game, is just not being rattled coming out that gate in the second half and being like, kind of let that mistake, you know, define the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because had Anders not missed the field goal, I feel like they probably would have just kicked it. But so Matt LaFleur wanted to get like a little bit closer. But yeah, I mean, like in that scenario, like just kick the field goal. Like,
yeah, I feel like that they thought that they had enough time to get a playoff and then kick a field goal if needed, but like try to get a little bit closer. But they definitely screwed up. And I think it was that was bad. It was. I was mad. I was there.
I was heated. Yeah.
Yeah. I was very mad. I was upset. I said some stuff. So we're gonna get out of this Cowboys game. But I want to ask you this before we get out of the Cowboys game. We got the weakest NFC team in the playoffs. You know, we got you know who's in the playoffs. I should have had a list up over here, but everyone knows who's in the playoffs. We got the Packers. We got the Niners. We got the Cowboys. Rams. Who Eagles. Else we got over here? Eagles.
Bucks.
Bucks. who is a team that you think if you know, the Packers beat the Cowboys and they keep it moving, who's a team that you would like the Packers to play? Like, who do you think is one of those weaker teams that we can just talk trash about? You know what I mean?
So
and hope we played.
I will say, as a self-proclaimed realist, that's not negative.
There we go.
I think the two weakest teams are the Eagles, because they're literally limping into the playoffs. Jalen Hurts like broke his finger on Sunday, like on his throwing hand. Like they're literally limping into the playoffs after they were like 10-0 this year. Like they're not playing very well. But like the Packers, I would say, are also the weakest, but only because of their defense. Like I think the offense can score with anybody left in the playoffs. Like I think the Packers can waltz in and score on almost, they can score 25 points on almost anybody except the Niners, right? So
yeah.
The only reason I think the Packers
the Niners second, scare every Packer yeah. fan. The Niners yeah. got every Packer fan shook.
The only reason I put the Packers as the second weakest is because I still don't trust the defense against a quarterback that's really good. And we're gonna see it this weekend. Yeah. Like Dak Prescott he arguably should be the MVP. Like Dak has been really good this year. He's been dynamite. So this is a huge test. Like, yes, they look good against the Bears. Yes, they look good against the Vikings. I mean, we're going to see. Like, I don't have confidence in the coordinator, but maybe the players say, screw it. Like, we're going to play the game of our lives, and we'll find out what happens after that.
All right. For me, like, if I'm just saying, like, who I would like to see, like, going forward, and I know it might be, like, much forward. Like, the Packers got to do a lot of stuff to make this happen. I would like to see the Packers play the Lions.
In the playoffs. Oh, yeah.
And that might be, like, way out there. I would not be worried about playing the Lions. Yeah, I know that they might have to, the way the seeding has worked, like, they might have to go through the Niners first. And the Niners, like, I feel like the Cowboys fans are thinking the same way about the Packers, even though it's not the same team. It's not
PTSD. They have PTSD.
Yeah, it's not the same team at all. It's not comparable because it's a fresh new team. But if you're a Cowboys fan, in the back of your head, like, bro, we've had these nightmares.
When the Packers walk out onto Jerry World and they walk out on the field wearing their home green jerseys, Cowboys fans are going to be sweating because they've seen this so many times before. And not only that, the Packers are coming into their house with no pressure. Like, all of the pressure is on the Cowboys. Like, if the Packers win, Mike McCarthy could literally get fired, like, after the game.
Yeah, he's one of the only playoff teams. Very rarely does a playoff team coach get fired. But, like, if they lose to the Packers, and that's the thing.
Again.
Like, the Packers they're playing with house money. The team, obviously, in that locker room, they're not thinking that. They're thinking, hey, we're coming to play. They're not thinking about this outside noise of, like, there's no pressure. If you lose, who cares? They're not thinking that.
They want to win.
Yeah, Rashawn Gary ain't thinking that. Did you see Rashawn Gary in that locker room?
Yes. When
Matt LaFleur was yelling about, hey, we're going to the playoffs. Rashawn Gary.
He manhandled him. Yeah, he manhandled him.
If that was
him.
A baby, he would have died. You know what I mean? Like, if that was me, I would have hit the floor. I'd have been done. Concussion protocol.
I was going to say, Matt
LaFleur.
LaFleur might be in the concussion protocol.
Yeah. He kind of stopped what he was saying. He was like, all right, is this going to end? It was like 4 seconds just shaking. But Rashawn Gary, the energy that dude brings and with the physicality, that's a word. And I actually love Rashawn Gary. Every time you see those interviews, those like locker rooms, not interviews, but those locker rooms, just like whatever speeches or whatever, he mentions Jordan Love. He's like, stop playing with him. Stop playing with him. I love Rashawn Gary.
I think Rashawn Gary like is the biggest Jordan Love fan.
Oh, I
anyone.
Think so.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, he absolutely loves him. Like, he, and I think that's the other thing too that's so special about this team is, like, sure, like, Love has been there for 3 years, but this is his first year starting. And it literally seems like not only does the team believe in him, but like, they don't want to let him down, which is crazy for the guy that had just started for 1 year. Like, they want to win for him. And he's a leader on this team. And I know this is a very young team. Like, Love is barely 25 years old, so he's a veteran at 25 by being on the roster for 3 years. But yeah, like they want to win for him, and like that is huge when you also are talking about a team that's playing with no pressure on them at all.
Yeah, and Jordan Love, like the reports are, he has the whole offense at his house every Monday, I think it is. They have dinner.
And he invites the defense.
Defense is welcome. So I'm sure some of those guys come. I'd go. Someone's offering free food.
I'd go.
And maybe not at my work, because I don't like the people I work. I mean, I do like people I work. Some of them watch this. I do like some of the people I work with, not all of them.
I'd grab a plate and leave.
I might edit that part out. But I think it's cool. I think that means a lot. I think that it explains a lot why this.
Yeah.
I think this offense, like, it's doing what it's doing. Like, if they're all hanging out, they're all having a good time. They're getting to know each other at a faster pace. I think Rashawn Gary, though, I absolutely love Rashawn Gary. I think he's a great leader. He seems like he's speaking out, you know, in the limited amount of videos that we see. But
also a quick trip partner.
Oh yeah, also a quick trip partner. You know, Rashawn Gary's a quick trip guy.
There we go.
I need to get another video in with Rashawn Gary. It was funny because, like, when I was talking with Rashawn Gary, when we did that video way back when, we were talking about, you know, he had to eat pizza, and he's like, I can't eat pizza all day. Right. We're trying to do this video. He's like, I'm gonna do die. That, man. I was like, well, if you don't finish it, just toss it on.
Slide it on over. Yeah.
I am not on a diet. You
see, I'm not above eating the pizza.
Yeah, this is a quick trip pizza body. You know what I mean? But Rashawn Gary obviously loves a quick trip pizza, but he just limits how much he can put in his body, because he's like you. He's fit. They're like anti me. You know what I mean? They're anti me. But let me ask you this: I'm not a negative fella. I don't like to talk about people getting fired and people.
You're not a realist.
You know, yeah, I'm not a realist. I don't claim to be a realist. I've never heard me talk about being a realist. You know what I mean? But do you think? Because, you know, obviously, I believe Joe Barry probably next year is coaching somewhere else. They don't have to fire him. His contract runs out.
Yep.
But do you believe that if the defense shuts down the Cowboys offense, could Joe Barry be in Green Bay next season? Because they had a couple good seasons or a couple good weeks with this defense. But I feel like Matt LaFleur said he's going to take a little hold of this defense a little bit, have a little bit more control of it. I'm not saying that Joe Barry doesn't have no control, but I feel like that they're pressuring more, you know, especially last week. They're getting after it. Quay Walker doing his thing. Quay Walker played amazing.
Yep.
And just getting at the, first of all, speaking of Rashawn Gary, people were saying, like, what did Rashawn Gary do? He had a bad game. I was watching that game before we got on here, because, like, you know, I was at the game. He was swatting balls down. He was in the path. He was getting after it. He didn't get the sacks. I mean,
sacks
and all that stuff, but
sacks are nice, but they're not everything. Not everything.
It's not just sacks. You know what I mean? It's he had a little tip ball. He had some stuff going on. I absolutely love Rashawn Gary. I can't say it enough. But do you think that if, you know, this Cowboys offense, the first offense that they played in a minute, actually in a while, that had, like,
they're averaging 40 points at home, which is insane.
They are balling. So if they shut them down, let's say the Cowboys score 13 points, they kind of just, like, do a really good job and they win this game. Do you think that Joe Barry is safe?
So
because it's not safe. It's about getting a new contract, because that's the thing I think is different than if you have a contract. It's not being fired. It's like, hey, we're
just like they did with Mike Pettine, right? Like, his contract expired. Yeah. They parted ways. Like I said earlier this week. And like, we know Matt LaFleur likes Joe Barry. Like, they're friends. Yeah, like
they're
Matt doesn't like firing his friends. So I said earlier that I don't care what happens in the playoffs. I think the only way that Joe Barry could possibly come back would be if the Packers win two playoff games and it's because of the defense. So, like you said, right? If they hold the Cowboys, who score 40 at home, to 17, and then they go into San Francisco and they beat the Niners and the 49ers only score 20 points, and that the Packers somehow find themselves in the NFC Championship game, I don't even think that he would be back at that point. But I think that's the only scenario where he would be back.
Yeah.
So I think it's I think he's gone. I don't. And like you said, Matt LaFleur said, I'm going to start taking more control of the defense. To me, that was like the nail in the coffin, right? Because when you have an offensive head coach that also is the play caller, like, they don't want to be involved with the defense.
Yeah.
Like, do we think Kyle Shanahan is involved with the defense in San Francisco? I highly doubt it. Like,
yeah.
Do you think Mike McDaniel is doing any defensive work in Miami? I really don't think so. So the fact that he felt the need to be like, okay, I need to like step in and do some stuff on defense, to me, that's like, he's gone unless they make a miracle run.
Yeah. If your boss is diving into your work,
yeah, it's never good.
You're not doing a good job. Things ain't looking good for you.
Yeah.
But I think it has a lot to do with what the players feel. Because I think more than what like fans have their opinions, I see a lot of comments rolling in here telling me I'm an idiot. But if at the end of the season, like they'll have exit interviews, no matter how the season ends, they'll talk to players, they'll talk to the captains. I think that they would ask them, like, what do you think? I don't think they'll ask them straight up, should we fire them? Because they're not going to put that on the players. They're going to probably get in a roundabout ways, get opinions on what do you feel if he is here, if he isn't here. I don't know how they would word it. They'd do a better job than me. But I don't think he's going to be here next year. Unless, like you said, some miracle situation happens. The Cowboys score 9 points.
Yeah.
There's a phenomenal game. And then even if they do that, like, why did that happen? Was it because Matt LaFleur changed some stuff, or was it because they had other help? But like, you know, whatever defensive coach they got kind of helped up, stepped up. They weren't going with the scheme that Joe Barry had. I think he's going to be not here.
Yeah. I think it's over. I'm not sweating it. Even though I didn't agree with it, I understood why they didn't fire him midseason, like after the Bucks game or after the Panthers game. Like, I get why they didn't. I wish they would have, but I understand why they didn't. It's just, yeah, he's here until the season's over. Unless, like I said, he's the number one reason why they make a playoff.
Yeah.
I don't imagine that's going to happen. So they
should. Yeah.
Full disclosure. Like, I don't think that's happening.
Unless the defensive players, like the captains, like rise up and be like, we want this dude, like, and they play really good, like they play out of their minds, and they're like, that's the reason. I don't know that the defensive players are gonna do that, but I don't know, because no one knows what the defensive locker room looks like.
Preston Smith said what? He was like, we're playing for Joe. He called some good things, like he called a good game. But like, I feel like that's like what you said, right? No player is going to come out while a team's winning and like talk against the coaches, right? This isn't working. We don't like it. Like, we don't want him in this locker room. Like, they're playing for him. So I get it. I just think it's mostly I don't think he can save his job. I think he can audition for maybe playing coaching somewhere else, but this was his third stop and it hasn't been successful. So I kind of feel like, I don't know how many chances you get in the NFL when you've had three bad defensive coordinator jobs.
Yeah. I know, like, I got a couple at my job because I suck at all my jobs. But,
I give you a third chance. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to keep her moving over here. But I want to give a quick shout to Woodson Whiskey. I'm partnering with them for a little bit over here. You can get Woodson Whiskey at Festival Foods in Green Bay. You know, all the festival foods, there's a whole bunch of them in Green Bay. You can't, you know, they're almost like Quick Trips.
They're on every corner. Really. Yeah, they're on every corner.
But there's a lot of them. But go to, you know, the Packers playing the playoffs this weekend. You already do a little bit of drinking. You want to get some Woodson Whiskey. Check out Festival Foods. They'll fill you up with some Woodson Whiskey. They got all the other brew you need, all the other tailgate necessities. You probably won't be tailgating unless you want to, because it's a whole, it's an away game. But you still might be barbecue. Fast Food's got you set up, but go ahead, get yourself a Woodson Whiskey, and your wife might be, you know, she might not agree with my statement, but depends how you handle whiskey, you know what I mean? Woodson Whiskey, some good stuff over there. Get it at Festival Foods. But let's check it out. All right, the Cowboys open at 7.5-point favorites over the Packers. What are your feelings on that? Because I think that that's a little high. I saw people on Facebook saying,
you think it's high
about that? I think it's too much.
I think it's pretty fair only from the standpoint of they score an insane amount of points at home. Like, I literally think they score 20 points more at home than they do on the road, which is, I don't know if I've ever seen a split that big.
I don't think it's insanely high. If it was me, and I'm not Vegas, I'm not a guru on like points and all that, but I would think like 5-6 is about right. Like, I think it might come down a little bit.
You remember they get 3 for being at home no matter what, right? So you're really looking at 4.5.
I would take that money though. I would take that bet. We can't bet in Wisconsin on points.
You think Packers will cover it?
Yeah, I absolutely think it'll be the Packers will not lose by more than 7.5. I think actually I will pick the Packers to win this game straight up because you know that's what I do. But I think that even if I think it's going to be a close game either way. So even if like you know no matter how it turns, I think it's going to be close.
I'm going to say I would also pick the Packers to win. Because, like, again, like I said, I think this offense can score on anyone. And the Cowboys, the Cowboys haven't really been like running the ball very well at all. Like, it's Mike McCarthy, right? He wants to drop back and throw it 40 times a game.
We could have the best running back of all time. Like, I don't care. Aaron Jones, we didn't know he was alive until.
He does not like running the ball. Like, and the Packers have a bad run defense. So, like, if there's an opportunity for the defense to do anything, it's because the D line has been playing much better. And we have a lot of pass rushers on the D line. Like, we don't have a run stopper outside of like maybe TJ Slayton. But like, other than that, they're all pass rushing D linemen. So, like, I do feel like that. And Mark W. just said my next point I was going to bring up. So, Aaron Jones, he said, is amazing in Dallas. Aaron Jones has as close to fresh legs as you can get at this point in the season because he missed a large chunk of the season being hurt. And he does always play very, very good in Dallas. He's, I looked it up. He averages 20 attempts for 123 yards and 6 yards a carry when he plays in Dallas. Like,
yeah, he's a guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And he's on a hot streak right now. He's had over 100 yards, over 120 scrimmage yards in 3 straight games. Like, that's why I think we're looking at a shootout because the Packers' offense is working right now, no matter what they want to do. They can run it, they can pass it. They're multiple. Like, Matt LaFleur is calling great plays. Like, I have no worries that this team is going to score points this weekend, but I don't have much faith that they're going to be able to stop a Dak Prescott, a CeeDee Lamb. Like Dak is balling right now, and Joe Barry is good for what ails you, pretty much. So,
yeah, you know what I mean? But, like, I got the next graphic up here. What do the Packers have to do to win in Dallas? You just talked about the offense. We know Aaron Jones is going to ball. He balls out in Texas. That's his home state. Yep. No, he comes to play. He comes to show family and friends, everyone that ever heard his name over there. And like when he was a kid, Elon wants everybody to know, yo, I'm coming back.
All of his friends are in attendance. Absolutely.
Yeah. I absolutely love Aaron Jones and he balls out in Texas, but we could talk about Wicks. We could talk about Jaden Reed. Hopefully I think he's going to be all right. Like, I think he's, that same injury or whatever.
We were saying before we came on here, like, I mean, Jaden Reed has played through everything. Like, there was like a 4 or 5 game stretch where he had one injury, played through it, and then in that next game, something else got injured, and he still.
Yeah, and he was like, he's got a chest and ankle. Yeah, all that. First of all, I hurt my chest. I stay home.
I'm done for the day. Absolutely.
I don't even know what chess. I remember one time I was watching Monday Night Football back when Dennis Miller was calling it. I remember him saying, he's like, this player's got a minor groin injury. He goes, I don't know about you, but there's no such thing as a minor groin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, obviously the name we're all going to be watching is, you know, like, can Christian Watson play?
Watson.
That was his breakout game last year, right? Against the Cowboys, 3 touchdowns. And I thought it was funny that Matt LaFleur admitted that he basically lied to everyone last week because he's like, oh, yeah, our plan is like that he's going to be ready to go. Like, he should play. And then he was inactive and he apologized for lying about it. So,
yeah, he's like, yeah, what do you do? Someone's got a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Which, I mean, whatever. A coach should, that's gamesmanship, right? But,
oh, yeah, you got to lie sometimes. It's like when your wife asks you how much you had to drink. You know what I mean?
I had one beer.
I go downstairs right now. My wife's like, one beer, but it was in a bucket. Like, hell, I had a couple. You know what I mean? I had a couple.
You don't have to say how big the glasses were. You just had three. You
know, yeah, I had a couple, but a couple tree. You know what I mean? I say a couple because she don't know if it's a couple or a couple six packs. She don't know what it was. You know what I mean? But like I Christian Watson playing, that would be huge.
Yeah, Christian it'd be huge.
Watson to this offense because the other guys are already doing their thing.
Yeah,
Reed, Wicks, like
yeah. I mean, how crazy is it? Doing it.
And how then crazy the two tight ends now.
Yeah, I mean, how crazy is it if you go into a playoff game and you're like, even if Dobbs can't play, because like I was mad that he dropped that would-be touchdown until I found out that, you know, he landed flat on his back, and then yeah. I guess he like had an injury and he was coughing up blood, so like immediately forgiven for that because that had to feel miserable. But like, how crazy is it that you could be going to a playoff game and say your top two wide receivers from last year, which were Dobbs and Watson, aren't going to play. And you're like, yeah, I still feel pretty good.
Yeah, I still feel good about it.
Yeah, I would love to still score 25 points without those two guys.
Yeah, I would love for Watson to play. I know people on Facebook, they're like laughing at me right now because everyone on Facebook, because I defended Watson because they're like, he's made of glass. My dude's
I'm not giving up on him.
I'm definitely not getting up on him. But let me talk about the defense real quick. You know what I mean? Because the Packers. All right. The Packers defense going into Dallas, playoff game situation. They played the Vikings, played them good, played the Bears, played them good. Everyone's talking about, well, these teams suck. And which I agree.
They do. Yeah,
no one has to tell me they suck. I've been saying the Vikings suck since forever. And like Bears fans, when the Packers beat the Bears, like, yeah, congratulations, you beat a trashy Bears team. Like, you don't got to tell me. I've been telling you they was trash the whole year. You were the one in denial.
You didn't listen.
You told me last Tuesday they were going to win. I've been telling you they've been trash. But anyway, this is not about the trash and the Bears. I'm telling you about this Packers defense, Preston Smith. Rashawn Gary, you know what I mean? Owens is playing great. A lot of these guys, I could list off the whole defense. They're playing great. Jair Alexander's out. He's outside the pro shop, you know, trolling.
That was hilarious. Trolling
news reporters, you know what I mean? I feel like this defense is like, this is their time, and they know it. This is their time. All right, you've been balling. Nixon's in the locker room smoking stogies, you know what I mean? I think it was Nixon. But they were having a good time. And, like, now this is time. It's playoff time.
Yeah.
You're going to Dallas. You're playing a team that is, you know, they're scoring all these points. Everyone's talking. Dak Prescott won't even wear the division championship hat. He's like, we got more in our mind, baby. So this defense, they're going to come to play. And they're going to come and they're going to shut this. I'm going to say shut them down, but they're going to come and they're going to compete and they're going to hold this offense in a situation where the Packers offense can beat them. And I think this will be a huge test for their defense. They're going to be riled up all week talking about the same thing, saying we can beat this offense. We can shut them down. We can hold them. This is playoff football time. This is Green Bay Packer football.
I mean, and the
defense is going to come to play.
They and should.
Shut Dak and this offense down, baby.
They should have confidence, right? They literally just played them last year. It's 90% the same defense. Like, they have been, like we said, they have been playing better the last 2 weeks. Like, and again, the offense, I mean, we're very familiar with this as Packers fans. The offense is playing well. They're getting all the accolades. Nobody trusts the defense. Like, we've been dealing, like, that's the way we've looked at games for what, the past 12 years? Like,
yeah.
So they know that nobody's giving them a chance on defense. Like, so yeah, they're playing with even less pressure than the offense is because everyone sees them as the weak link. So I agree. Like, that's why I said, like, even if you don't have confidence in Joe Barry, I think that the players are going to take this one on themselves and say, like, we really need to step it up. It's just, for me, it's more of how efficient and good Dak has been this year. Yeah. Seeing how we've done against much worse quarterbacks. Like, yes, we beat Mahomes. Yes, we beat Jared Goff. Like, Mahomes has not played as well as Dak has this year. Like, the Chiefs are reeling and scrambling to score points. Goff is, if you pressure him and get to him early, like, he's not going to play well. But, like, Dak has been, like I said, arguably the MVP, and it's going to take the game of their lives on defense in order to win this one.
And I feel like they can do it. Here's what I say, You know, if Matt LaFleur was listening to me, which he should never do, I'm not even good at Matt.
He's watching right now. He's
you know what I mean?
He's tuned in.
Matty LaFleur, first of all, I love Matt LaFleur. I think he's great. I was excited when he got hired. I like him. Whatever. I don't want to get into it. But I say run Aaron Jones, run him a lot. Last year when they beat him, Aaron Jones
20 touches. That's what we need.
I think they had over 20 yards rushing total. That's what you need. You got to run the ball a lot. And I think now, you know, Jordan Love is having his thing. Wicks, Jaden Reed, this offense is doing their thing. So I don't say, like, ignore the pass. Like, use the run, pass the ball. But I think that this defense will come to play. Get some turnovers. Get at Dak. You have to get to him. Quay Walker's playing great. Playing out of his mind. I feel like Quay Walker's playing, like, on another level of, like, personal things. Because, like you said,
maybe this is like Matt LaFleur influence, but like they've been blitzing Quay Walker. Like,
yeah,
I said earlier this week, like obviously Quay Walker is not Micah Parsons, but like he has those same kind of traits. Like you can use him to rush the passer. He's like a freak athlete. He's extremely quick. Like you can use him in those blitz packages. And I do believe, like, to be totally honest with you, like, you say, like, use Aaron Jones. Like, he needs to have those 20 attempts. As long as the Packers don't fall behind at any point by more than, like, 12 points, Aaron Jones needs to have those 20-plus rushing attempts. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You can't get into the, oh, they're down by 10. Now Jordan Love is going to have to throw it 40 times. Like, you don't have to abandon it like that.
Because that's what I do in Madden. It never works. You know what I mean? But this comment was from earlier from Jason. He says, looking forward, the Jair and Lamb matchup.
Yes. This weekend.
So let me ask you this. How are they going to use Jair? Are they going to be able, do you think he's going to be on Lamb all week or all game? How are they going to do that?
I mean, we always want Jair to follow the number one receiver. Like, they don't let him do that. Like, he wasn't following DJ Moore the whole game last week. He wasn't following Justin Jefferson the whole game. Oh, he didn't play. Excuse me. But he wasn't following the number one receiver in Carolina. Like, the thing that does worry me is that the Cowboys do move CeeDee Lamb a lot. Like, they move him in the slot a ton.
Which is smart. Especially with today's day, when you have a number one corner, and if they're going to follow, which Jair, for the most part, like you said, he doesn't follow the guys. That's not how they do their defense. You want to move that guy around because you don't want him to that's how you get matchups. Like, you want to move everyone around.
The way I think they'll end up defending the Cowboys is, yes, like Jair didn't play against Minnesota and you were playing bad quarterbacks, but they still had Jordan Addison, they still had Justin Jefferson. I think they're gonna kind of use that same type of concept, the concepts on defense, to defend against CeeDee Lamb. And now you do have Jair. So You can run the same type of game plan. Now you just put Jair in there. And you're going to get a matchup with CD a couple times. But that's what I hope they do. I hope they kind of just replicate what they did against the Vikings. But you have that chess piece now where I'm not going to say he's going to cancel CD Lamb out because, like, Lamb has been
insane. I'll say it.
See, okay. You think Lamb has over or under 100 yards?
I think he has under 100 yards.
Under 100? Okay.
I don't think it's going to be crazy. I'm not saying he's going to get 26 yards. Yeah. But I feel like he'll have under. Dude, I have confidence in this defense, like, that this defense is going to step up. This is a powerful offense. This is no slouch offense. And everyone's been trashing this defense. Everyone's been talking. They see it. I don't think that they're, like, highly focused listening to ESPN and the trolls and, like, idiots like me talk about stuff on the internet. But I think that they see everyone disrespect him. Like, you see all these quarterbacks who are slouches, and like, they had good games. I feel like this is the game. It's playoff time. It doesn't matter what happened before. It doesn't matter. It is here now. Dak Prescott, great quarterback. This offense, great. Mike McCarthy, getting him rolling. I know Mike McCarthy, historically, doesn't know how to use running backs, whatever. But I actually love Mike McCarthy. You know, he was a Packer coach. He did some great stuff over the year.
I'm going to feel bad if the Packers get him fired. Like, I'll be excited.
Yeah.
But I don't feel bad if he gets fired.
I don't think he'll get fired in a loss unless it's, like, really, really bad. But I have faith in this Packers defense. I really do. I feel like this is their time to shine. Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Jair Alexander. I think they're going to be fired up. You know, Quay Walker's balling, like I said. Nixon, like all these guys are, they're going to come to play. Like, this is a big test. Everything's on the line. I feel like they're going to come to play. I got faith in this defense. Come on. Let's go win a playoff game in Dallas, baby.
When is the last time that the Packers made the playoffs and there wasn't a ton of pressure on them to make the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And like, literally 2009, like, probably, right? Been a minute.
But like, picture this, Monty. Travel in the future. I wouldn't say make believe. Let's travel in the future. The Packers beat the Cowboys and the Lions lose to the Rams, because the Rams are coming for Detroit.
Stafford going back to Detroit.
Got traded away.
It's a double revenge game because Goff's playing the Rams. Yeah,
it's a double revenge situation. If the Cowboys lose to the Packers and the Lions lose to the Rams, people have no idea how annoying I will be. You will block me. I'm telling you, I will be so, because these Lion fans have been chatty. Oh my goodness.
It's like you said, I got like you beat said, they've up. Earned it, right? Like, they haven't been good.
They in definitely earned
40
it.
40 years. So,
but like, I got beat up a little bit, you know, in middle school. I got a few fights, never won one. If I win one in like at the end of middle school, like, you know, eighth grade, I finally beat someone up and I start flexing. I beat up.
Right, yeah, you're going to, right.
That's kind of how that I
last week.
Like, yo, like, yo, you got beat up in sixth grade.
That's in the past.
Grade,
like, forget about that.
We don't worry about that. You know, Lion fans, I respect them. Like, everyone who's a diehard Lion fan.
Yeah, I don't know a bad Lions fan in real life.
I know a couple. Not in real life. I don't know any. But okay. On the internet, I met a few in the last couple weeks. But just annoying people.
Yeah.
But I have a problem with, like, the whole Lions pride thing. Because you had bags on your head like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what pride means.
Yeah, that's like, that does not work together.
How do you talk about Lions pride when you had bags on your head? Maybe it wasn't 3 years ago. Definitely 5 years ago.
It was five years ago. They were awful.
Same old Lions ripped across their face. I've never seen a Packer fan at Lambeau Field have a bag on their head. And actually, I Googled it. Packer fan bag on their head. I couldn't find
one. Hard to find. Yeah, couldn't find one.
You couldn't find one because I'm not bitter because I don't care about winning the division. I would like to.
Yeah.
It's obviously the goal, but like Mike McCarthy once said, we don't hang banners about divisions over.
Yeah, this was, I mean, like we already talked about, this was a kind of see what you have for the future, and if you make the playoffs, great.
And now we know we got for the future. The future is now, baby.
Exactly.
The future is now, Monty.
You know what you got.
We know what we got. We just got that defense going to step up. I got faith, baby. I'm going to make some predictions this week. I'm not right now. I'm not going
to
tell you about.
We got to see. Yeah, you got to see what the hell the injury report ends up being.
We got to end up. We got to look at that. But I'm hyped up for this playoff game. I think the Packers are going to win this thing. I think this defense is going to come to play. I'm excited about it. I think the offense is definitely going to come to play. Jordan Love, it feels like. Like, my wife, actually, I talked to my wife a lot about football. She was saying, like, dude, you've watched Jordan Love. He just doesn't seem shook ever. Like, no, you know, never. You ever been driving? Do you live in a cold area with snow?
No, I'm in Arizona.
All right, so you don't ever drive in snow.
It is cold here, though. It's only 45 degrees right now.
Yeah, oh, take it easy. All right, Monty, I can't talk. That's like talking to Lions fans about winning a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? I can't do it. But, like,
I am from Wisconsin, though, so I get it. I get it.
No, but, like, I grew up in Wisconsin. I lived in Wisconsin my whole life. We got some snow coming tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, I'm probably white-knuckling it, maybe, if the snow that they say we're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be all careful driving to work, even though I drive it all the time. But, like, I feel like Jordan Love, he's never white-knuckling it.
No.
He's always smooth with it. I mean, I don't know how he drives. He might be a bad driver. Who knows? I'm talking about football.
I mean,
he seems like he's always calm. He's always
we've seen him got that demeanor. We've seen him make the largest comeback in team history against the Saints, right at home. And then, just like you said, I mean, at any point when they went through
that game, I think
when they went through that really bad stretch in October, he never got down. He never was, you know,
seeming
like he was, it was getting to him. Like, I think like that is, if that's his leadership style, I think that's perfect for a young team. Yeah. Right. Cause like, he's never going to blow up on you. Like, and like I said earlier, it seems like they don't want to disappoint him more than that. They're like,
afraid he's not on the sideline rowdy and throwing helmets. Like,
exactly.
And I'm not trashing guys that do it. Cause I have no problem with the guys getting emotional and they're like, whatever, leadership's different. Even when he's doing a TikToks with his girlfriend, she's doing her thing, she's all flying over, and he's just like,
he's like,
I feel like that's football style. He just goes with the flow. He's not getting too crazy. I love Jordan Love, and I can't wait to watch this dude's career. I think he's gonna ball out, and you know, at some point he's probably gonna be a New York Jet, but by then. I'm the old
in 2046 or whatever it's gonna be.
I just hope I'm still alive. That's all I hope. I just hope my heart doesn't give out by then. You know what I mean? No, but I love Jordan Love. I love this team. I'm excited about it. Dallas Cowboys next week. This is gonna be a huge game. Playoffs. I'll be live streaming that thing. Not live streaming the actual game, but I'll be live streaming during the game.
I'm saying you're gonna get shut down.
Yeah. People are asking, why don't you stream the game? We don't want to hear you talk. But, like, yo, the NFL doesn't like that.
Yeah, Roger Goodell will have a black SUV in front of your house in 10 minutes. Yeah,
Roger Goodell is on that. He tuned in. Like, it says Roger Goodell, like, shut it down.
He'll be in the chat.
Yeah, he's in the chat, like, shut it down, Ramage. I see what you're doing. But we're going to wrap this thing up. But everyone check out Monte. All right, Pack-A-Day podcast.
Yeah, you can find me on Fridays on the Pack-A-Day podcast with Nathan Marzian and Shanna Quinn. And then also on Fridays, I do a show with Aaron Ellis called Last Call Lambo. We're on there for Game On Wisconsin. And then you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ferd Turgeson, FERD_TURGESON.
There you go. Check him out. He's on all the stuff. You know what I mean? And one of the smart people. I like to bring smart people on here once in a while. And tomorrow night, I will be live at 6:30 p.m. Central Time with Ryan Schlipp from the Packernet Podcast. We will talk about probably not too much of the Packers Bears, but I want to talk a little bit about the Packers Bears because he's been showing receipts. So Ryan's really good at talking that trash. But we're going to talk about picking some games for the playoff games, not just the Packers Cowboys game, but all the playoff games. We're going to get into that. Ryan Schlipp, one of my favorite people.
And it'll be Wednesday. Like, in my opinion, you turn the page to the next week after Wednesday. So you can still, revel in the Bears win tomorrow for sure.
I absolutely believe that. Cause especially if it's the Bears, if it was like the Falcons.
Yeah. Like, who cares about that?
Bears fans said, well, it's time to move on. They told me that on Monday. I'm like, happy victory. Move on, get over it. I'm like, no. And then they tried to tell me, like, this is your Super Bowl. Like, bro, we've had Super Bowls recently.
Cause they for sure would have moved on by now had they won on Sunday.
They wouldn't have been talking about it.
Right.
They'd have been like, yo, 1-9, baby.
They would have had a parade. There would have been a parade tomorrow. For sure.
Flexing on. But 10-0, Packers stomping out the Bears continually. You know what I mean? The Bears, people say that it's not even a rivalry anymore because the Packers beat them so many times. I disagree. It's a rivalry because I want to enjoy it. And I hate the Bears. I've hated the Bears my whole life.
I said to my friend the other day, it's no longer a rivalry. It's just, at this point, it's entertainment. Like, I know when I'm watching a Packer Bears game, I'm going to be entertained. Like, I don't consider it a rivalry. I watch it for entertainment. Like, I watch any other TV show at this point.
Yeah. Because like it to me, it's like, if you watch a game and they're winning, do you stop enjoying it with the blow in the third quarter? Like, no, the Packers won 10 in a row.
Right.
I'm going to enjoy it. I hate the Bears so much. People are like, I hate the Vikings more. That's good. I hate the Vikings too. I hate the Viking fans more.
I would agree. I would agree.
They annoy me more. I don't hate them like personally, but just like they're annoying. They're stupid and they don't really know much about football. But Bears fans I respect more, but their team I hate. And I'm going to keep that going and I'm going to enjoy it. You know, we got a whole off season of just talking about 10-0 and next year we'll get to 12-0. It's going to be a good time.
Right.
And in between there, we'll have a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? But we're going to wrap this thing up. We got Monty Moore over here. Check him out, Pack-A-Day Podcast. And Last Call Lambo, he's doing all types of cool stuff. And check him out on Twitter. He's killing the game. Turd Ferguson, you know what I mean? Is that right? Turd Ferguson is a Ferd Ferguson.
Yeah, you reversed it. It's Ferd Ferguson, but I did that on purpose.
Ferd Ferguson. No, my memory is just not good. And it's very confusing, you know what I mean? But Go Pack Go, people. I appreciate you tuning in. Shout out to Quick Trip, sponsoring the show, sponsoring everything I do. And also Nicolay Long, you know what I mean? You need a little help from a little, you know, get a little bumper accident. Someone like me backs into you or whatever. Check out Nick Laylaw. But Quick Trip, get yourself some Glazers, people. Go Pack Go. We out of here.
Go Pack Go.
Yes, sir.